I wanted to start athletes on her to change that narrative, to really kind of change the way athletes think and talk about mental health and how they express themselves, and to amplify stories that aren't being told when it comes to these things. And that's really the birthplace of, you know, Athletes Unheard, and what we're trying to do is really just amplify mental health in the athletic community and provide another outlet or safe space for athletes to talk and to really express their stories. And
to Beyond the Ball podcast.
What's going on, ballers? And welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Ball podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones. And today, man, we're diving deep. Today, I have the pleasure of bringing a gentleman to the stage who, you know, I've seen out here in these LinkedIn streets. I've seen the amazing work, that he does, and just the way that he's serving and supporting not only just our community, but just serving and supporting student athletes and athletes as a whole. So we're going to get to our guest in just one moment. So gotta let the just let the tension build a little bit. But outside of that, really quick, I want to just underscore and make sure everybody understands the purpose of Beyond the Ball. The purpose of this podcast is to serve and support student athletes by way of sharing stories, strategies, and success. And for that reason, I know it's true essential that I bring on the one and only Mr. Malcolm Lemons. And let me just share a little bit about Malcolm before I kick the mic over to him. He's a former professional athlete, two-time author, and the founder of Athletes Unheard. Malcolm, welcome to Beyond the Ball, brother. How you doing today?
Man, I can't call it, man. That introduction was amazing. I'm going to have you do all my intros.
Hey, man, let me know. I'm good for it, man. Let me know. But is there anything I missed, or I want to kick it to you really quick and just give you opportunity to let the people just share, give you opportunity so that you can share a little bit about yourself just with the people.
100%, man. I think you really touched on it, man. I've been in the space of athlete empowerment and really trying to help athletes succeed on and off the playing field for a number of years. But before that, I was like any other kid growing up in the city, you know, wanting to pursue that dream of becoming a professional athlete. So that's really what I chased throughout high school, college, went through a lot of ups and downs to get to that point. But I was blessed enough to go overseas and play for a couple years and struggled with the transition, like many athletes do, but really found my calling and purpose behind giving resources and tools to athletes. So just trying to make an impact in the best way that I know how, and really shed some light on my experiences and give back to the next generation coming up.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think impact's the name of the game. And since you said it, I'm gonna go ahead and spin off of that, because I mean the title of your book is Impact Beyond the Game: How Student Athletes Can Build Influence, Monetize Their Brand, and Create a Legacy. First of all, Malcolm, the title of that book, that's a strong title, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a strong title, and the book looks good. But even outside of that, I mean, Malcolm, if you don't mind, just talk a little bit about what the purpose was of creating this book, and why was now the time for you to say, you know what, let's go ahead and get into it right now. Let's do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said before, I've been in this space for a number of years and have seen conversations ramp up about name, image, and likeness and really empowering athletes to better utilize the platforms that they have. And as social media technology has evolved for all of us and given us all opportunities, I saw that student athletes were missing from that opportunity. They were missing out on those opportunities. They weren't really given a chance to capitalize in the way that they should. And so I knew that we were somewhat moving towards a world where that would be the case, where the pressure would come down on the NCAA to open those floodgates and to give student athletes the ability to take advantage of their name, image, and likeness like every other person is allowed to do in this country. And so with me just writing, articles and putting out content around this topic, I knew that this will be something that will become, a big trend and something that will be very transformative and revolutionary. And so The purpose of the book was really to kind of jumpstart that process for athletes and really getting them to understand how to capitalize on the influence that they have during their careers. And so it's just a blueprint more or less, and laying out specific tactics and strategies that athletes can use online and offline to take better advantage. And a lot of it is based off of my personal experience building my brand and some of the mistakes that I made when I was an athlete. So, you know, going back to just trying to make an impact and thinking that, you know, this is the right time for athletes to start preparing for that transformation that they're going to go through next year when name, image, and likeness is in effect. So that's really what the book is about. And the feedback and response has been really great so far.
Dope, man. Super dope. You don't have to talk about your specific mistakes that you made just in you building your brand as when you were a student athlete, but what would you just say to an athlete to just say, stay away from doing these things if you're looking to build a brand or as you are a brand? Because I mean, I'm a firm believer that everyone, if you're a student athlete, if you're a non-athlete, if you're as an individual, I believe everybody is a brand. If they monetize or, you know, create products, that's, you know, that all depends on the person. But what would you just say are a few just don'ts? If it's like, do not do this, this will affect your brand. What would you tell that student athlete or that athlete?
Well, that list can get very exhaustive, but there's a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of things that people shouldn't be doing, but I'm a big proponent on the things that going on the offense and really doing the controlling the things that you can control when it comes to the way people perceive you and the message that you're putting out into the world. And so when it comes to building a brand, I think that every athlete, no matter what level you are or what sports you play, you need to be talking about who you are. You need to be putting content out that reflects the things that you're passionate about, the things that you believe in, the things that you want people in the world to know about you. Because, you know, the way the world is moving, no matter who you are, what industry you're in, or, you know, who you meet with, the first thing that people do when they meet you is they Google your name. Mm-hmm. And so the information, the content that people come across, you want it to be, you know, authentic to who you are, but you want it to be a reflection of everything that you're trying to portray when it comes to your career, whether that's, you know, during your athletic career or even afterwards. So you control that narrative. You have to really put yourself in a position to where that the stuff that you're putting out is an authentic and genuine reflection of who you are. And you're putting out a message that is going to be beneficial to your career going forward. So every athlete should be creating content and becoming storytellers to control that narrative that people will have and see about them, whether that's online or offline.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's huge, especially with storytelling. And I say that because, I mean, we all have our favorite Disney movie or we all have our favorite commercial or TV show. And if we think about all those things, it boils down really to storytelling. And so I think that's truly essential, is just getting to a place to where you understand your story and you understand who you truly are. Because, I mean, I think there's nothing worse than an individual who, if somebody is interviewing them after a game or something like that, and they're like, hey, you know, tell us a little bit about you. And you're like, and then they have nothing of value to add just to the conversation. So I think that's truly pivotal. And as we're talking about stories and as we're talking about storytelling, Malcolm, take us back and just share a little bit about your student athlete experience and just just competing on the court.
Yeah, well, we starting back in high school, you know, I was fortunate enough to go to a highly prestigious Catholic school in Washington, D.C. called Gonzaga. And we probably played in the most competitive basketball league in the country and had an opportunity to compete against guys such as Victor Oladipo, Quinn Cook, Jeremy and Jerry and Grant, Josh Shelby, played with Tyler Thornton, went to Duke. So a lot of Division I athletes that are still, you know, my friends to this day. These were guys that I competed with in AAU and in high school day in and day out. And so that really exposed me to how competitive basketball was, and how much effort I had to put in if I wanted to be on the same level as these guys and ultimately achieve that dream of becoming a professional athlete. And so, you know, that drive, that level of competition started very early, and it really prepared me for college. And so when I was fortunate enough to receive several Division I scholarship offers coming out of high school, and actually I committed to Robert Morris University in Pittsburgh before my senior year. And a story that I don't tell a lot of people is that I actually decommitted from that school in May of my senior year. So right before I graduated, because the coaching staff had left, the whole coaching staff departed. And that was one of the primary reasons why I wanted to go there. And so opened up my recruitment 2 weeks after graduation, didn't have a school to go to. Wow. Had a school called Niagara University come out of the blue. They had lost one of their scholarship players, so they had a scholarship open. They asked me if I wanted to come take a visit, went up there, committed by the weekend. So my Division I basketball career started at Niagara University, and really some of the greatest years that I ever had playing. A lot of those, the guys that I played with throughout those 3 years, I consider them brothers to this day. And as I said in the beginning, you know, I went through tremendous ups and downs. I got sick my sophomore year, missed half the season. I had nagging ankle injuries throughout those 3 years. I get into it with the coaches about playing time. So it wasn't really the collegiate experience that I thought it would be when I was coming out of high school. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot about, you know, how to really just advocate for yourself, how to really push yourself and persevere and continue driving for something that you want in life. And so to make a long story short, I ended up transferring going into my senior year, took a leap of faith, went out to Cal State San Marcos in San Diego, small little NAIA school, and ended up having the best year I ever had playing basketball. Was an All-American Defensive Player of the Year. And, you know, just really, really just a fortunate situation for me. And that's what really afforded me the opportunity to go over, play overseas. And so I know it's a long-winded answer, but I would say that I definitely had a lot of rocky experiences throughout my student athlete days. But the biggest thing that I learned was really that adversity and obstacles are going to come no matter what you're trying to push for in life. But it's all about how you respond and react to those situations, that it is a reflection of your character and how much you want something. And so I would never let anybody deter me from achieving that dream of becoming a professional athlete, no matter how many injuries, no matter how many times I got into with the coaches. I always had that focal point and that goal at the forefront, and it really propelled me. And it's probably the biggest lesson that I take with me today.
Wow. Well, I mean, Malcolm, this episode is all about you, man. So feel free to keep your long stories long. You know, we're not tripping over here. We're definitely not tripping, man. So you went from the East Coast to the West Coast?
I kept going west. I went from DC to New York, New York to California, California to Japan. Yeah. Kept going west.
Wow. And then how long did you compete overseas?
I was over there for about 2 years on and off.
Wow. So what was the final straw to where you were like, it's just time for you to slacks, I guess.
So it's interesting. For me, it was really, you know, I wanted to become a professional athlete, but it was never something I saw myself doing for like 10 plus years. I just wanted to, you know, travel the world, you know, get to experience, you know, getting paid to do something I love and then figure out the rest of my life. The only problem was I had no idea what I really wanted to do. I knew it would be something related to business because growing up, that was the only other thing that I was interested in besides basketball. But I had no game plan. I had no guidance when it came to that. And so after my first year playing overseas, I ended up coming back home a little bit early because of just, it was an unstable situation. I came back home and was really trying to get back overseas, but I had to support myself. I had to pay for a trainer. I had to get in the gym. I had to just survive. And so I got two jobs and I hated them. I was working like 16-hour work days, some days just struggling. It was a really just hard time in my life because it was the first time I was without basketball, and I was, you know, working two jobs that I never thought I'd be doing. And that was the first time where I really sat back and I was like, I don't want to have to ever go through this again. Like, regardless of whether I play another day of basketball, like, this is not what I see for myself. And so I was blessed enough to get another job back over in Japan. So I went back over that following season, but I came in the middle of the season. So we had about a month long break where we were practiced for maybe an hour or two a day. And we didn't have any games. So I had a lot of time on my hands. In my first couple of weeks out there, I didn't have any Wi-Fi, didn't know the city, obviously, I didn't know my teammates. And I'm sitting in a loft about 30 minutes outside of downtown Tokyo. And I'm like, how did I get here? You know, what experiences, what obstacles? Like, that's when I really started to think about my life and how I didn't want to, you know, if this year of playing basketball didn't work out, I didn't want to revert back to what happened the previous year and go back home and do something I hated and be miserable. And so I took that time to reflect, and really that's when I started writing, because I had a computer in front of me and time, and it was therapeutic, more or less. And I just kind of poured my heart out on paper and really just started to journal. And to make a long story short, I was sharing that content with other people. People were telling me how inspiring my story was, and really had suggested I write a book. And that was something that I never thought about doing before, but I felt like I'd be doing an injustice to other athletes who were coming behind me who might experience the same things. And I said, if I don't tell my story, if I don't give back, I'm doing them an injustice. And so I published my book that following year, and actually had a deal to go back overseas to play in Morocco, and it fell through 2 days before I was supposed to leave. The team basically said they didn't want me anymore, and by that time my heart was just elsewhere. I had other things in the works. I said, I see a new path for me, and I decided to put the ball down a couple of days before Christmas in 2017 and called it quits.
Merry Christmas. Goodness. That's probably the gift that you did not want, yeah, to get 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. But man, I'm a firm believer in everything. Everything happens for a reason, man. So.
Yeah, man, for sure. For sure. So you started writing, and you said you felt you didn't, said that you felt you didn't for the athletes coming behind you.
Yeah.
Wow. So talk with me a little bit about Athletes Unheard and how this plays a role and how this all connects.
So one of the things that I noticed growing up is that, you know, coming from the city, inner city, being a child of a single parent and watching my mother struggle, and just some of the experiences that I had growing up, I never really knew how to deal with my emotions. And it was something that it wasn't talked about, especially within, you know, African-American community. Like, you don't show your emotions. You don't talk about your feelings. That's not something that was ever expressed to me. And as I gotten older, I saw how much that trauma played a part in my life, and how, because, you know, I'm an adult now and I didn't deal with some of those experiences or feelings when I was younger, when I should have, it's manifested itself in different ways. And I think that combined with everything that we've experienced this year, as far as COVID, social injustice, just the heightened levels of anxiety and depression, not only within sports and athletes, but with around the world, mental health to me has become increasingly important, and something that I've grown to be extremely passionate about because of my struggles and because of what I've seen. And I think that sports is really a microcosm of life, and I think that, you know, we don't talk about these things in sports, and there's such a narrative pushed along that athletes have to be tough and they have to never show that emotion like I was growing up. And so I want to really, I wanted to start Athletes Unheard to change that narrative, to really kind of changed the way athletes think and talk about mental health and how they express themselves, and to amplify stories that aren't being told when it comes to these things. And that's really the birthplace of, you know, Athletes Unheard. And what we're trying to do is really just amplify mental health in the athletic community and provide another outlet or safe space for athletes to talk and to really express their stories. And, you know, going back to just trying to make an impact, trying to make a difference. And I think that, you know, the lasting effects from this year will continue to compound going forward, but it's all about how we're dealing with these things. And I think these conversations and really the platform we're trying to build is going to be really impactful for a lot of athletes going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think now more than ever before, I think that everything's been exposed just in regards to mental health, mental wellness, COVID taking place. And just, I mean, as we continue just to see this, and as we just continue to see just the way that our country has been affected as a whole with people just day-to-day life. So, I mean, I think just what you're doing and helping, sharing your story and helping normalize just the fact of mental health and your passion for it, then I think you'll give other people permission to, you know, want to share their story as well. You'll give other people permission to, you know, want to champion for those they may know and may be diagnosed with some sort of mental illness or something like that. So, man, I definitely appreciate just what you're doing with the platform. I'm definitely going to continue to follow, you know, if I could be a resource in any way and supporting that, please let me know.
And I appreciate that, man. Definitely.
Yeah. So understanding that you're a writer, and like I told you before, Malcolm, research, I watched some interviews on you. I read some things. So understanding you're a writer, man, and I saw that LinkedIn put something out like a few weeks ago or like a week or so ago, and you were voted on the top voice. How did it feel when you got that notification, when you got that ping? What did that feel like, man, to know that, you know, all the work and the things that you've been investing in putting your thoughts on paper or on a platform, is what did that feel like?
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, you know, I was extremely honored, but, you know, it all goes back to really the value in the community that I try to build around LinkedIn. And I think, you know, especially this year, I've been more consistent on LinkedIn than any other platform because of that engagement, because of the relationships that I've been able to build. So that award and that recognition wouldn't have happened without people giving me feedback or you know, reaching out to me or saying that I provided some type of value that has helped them in their careers or whatever they're trying to build. So extremely grateful, man. It was amazing, you know, award. But like I said, I give all the credit to the people and the community on that platform and the tons of relationships that I've been able to build through LinkedIn.
Yeah, man, super dope. And I was going back reading some of the blogs that you've put out, and I mean, you share amazing content, and then even the thought that you put with it, because just me and you being connected, I think for like the past couple of weeks, maybe, or maybe longer than that, but I can always appreciate just you'll share a blog. It might not necessarily be your blog, but you'll share articles and posts, but then you'll also share your insight paired with it. So, I mean, I always can appreciate that just because it shows, like, you know, what somebody else was thinking when they posted it. So now I'm getting to see, you know, what Malcolm Lemons was thinking when he decided to share this article or that article. But I want to hear just your feedback on where you were in this time, because I saw one of your blogs that you wrote or one of your articles you shared on LinkedIn. And I believe this was the title. Either this is the title or I pulled it from the article. And it was, the truth is that I still struggle being a former athlete.
Yeah, man. I would say, I think I wrote that article maybe as recently as last year. It was sometime last year, I believe. And it's the truth. And in some aspects, I still feel like to this day, I struggle not recognizing myself as an athlete because it was the one thing that I was so committed to for such a long period of time. It's hard when you've been doing something for 20 plus years to just suddenly drop it and then go do something else or try to figure out, you know, what your identity is, what your purpose or calling is on this planet. And so many athletes struggle with that transition because they've been so invested that what they did has become who they are. And it's why this notion of separating the two and getting athletes to, you know, going back to capitalizing on their influence and telling that story. Part of that is really understanding what else you're passionate about so you can incorporate that into your athletic career and that you're not solely focused just on your sport, because that's going to be detrimental when it comes time for you to pivot into something else. And I, you know, going back to when I said some of the mistakes that I made, that was one of the things that I failed to do, is that I was so invested in becoming a professional athlete that I didn't have anything else. So, you know, when I was done, luckily I started writing, but even more so, I was still trying to figure that out, because there's no blueprint to, you know, being an entrepreneur or starting a new career. You just kind of feel your way through it. And so the past 3 years has been a lot of trial and error, a lot of figuring it out and separating myself from that identity of being an athlete has been a struggle. But I say day by day, it's like, you know, I compare it to, you know, one of the things that I read, I think, from James Clear, who was an author. He talks about in his book, Atomic Habits, he talks about every time you do something and you're consistent with it, it's like you're giving a vote for your identity to become that person. So every time you write, you're a writer. You're giving yourself permission to be a writer. So it's like consistently doing something over and over to where you're starting to recognize yourself as that thing. And that's what I try to do day in and day out, is whether I'm writing or working on my business or whatever I'm trying to build, I'm trying to be as consistent as possible with that thing to where I'm starting to identify more with it. And it becomes a part of me, and I can kind of shed that athlete title that I've been so accustomed to having. And so that's kind of what the premise of that article was. It was me just being transparent about how I was feeling as a retired athlete and why so many athletes struggle with that identity crisis and trying to get rid of that title that they've had for so many years.
I mean, you just dropped the bar. I don't know if you realize that bar that you just dropped, but man, you just dropped the bar. Golly, man. I've never even thought about it like that, but that makes so much sense. The more you do something, the more you're basically affirming that level of identity, or you're just, oh my goodness, Malcolm.
It's real. That's real.
Man, golly, that's for real. You know what else is real, Malcolm? Your content is pretty real, man. I followed you today. And now we're connected on like all the platforms. But man, I was looking at like one of the posts that you put in, and it's like a tweetable. And you said, starting a business is easy. Building a business isn't.
Simple but effective. But it's the truth.
Unpack that, just how your own personal journey, and just talk to me, man. Talk to me.
Man, no, the past 3 years, I've probably started more projects than I can count on my two hands. And it's been a series of trying, failing, pivoting, just consistently messing up. And it's like, whenever you're trying to build something from the ground up or start a business, you really have to, it's not a business until you're making money with it. Until it's some sort of sustainable business model behind it. And a lot of people want to become entrepreneurs because it's the hot thing to do nowadays, but fail to understand the simple concept of product market fit. So providing something that people are actually going to pay for. And so a lot of people start these businesses, but they fail I think the number one reason why businesses fail is because they don't have any clients or customers. Nobody wants to buy their service or product. So going back to the post, everybody can start a business. That's the easy part. You know, coming up with the logo, getting your website, you know, posting the product, getting your social profiles, establishing the LLC, like all that part, all that stuff is easy. Building the business, actually getting in the trenches and putting the work in and providing something that people are willing to pay for, it's a different story. And so that's the point that I was trying to get across, is that everybody has a business, but who really has a business?
Man, golly, dang, that's really some food for thought. Because I mean, a lot of people running around here with some hobbies, but it looks like they got a business. But that's not my business, you know. That don't concern me.
Which is cool. I'm not sitting up here and saying like, is anything wrong with having a hobby? Like we all should have passion projects or things we like to do, but you can't portray it as if like you're doing 6-7 figures in revenue and ain't nobody buying your stuff. Like it's the perception or the portrayal that I have a problem with, you know, more so than like somebody just wanting to start something because they love to do it.
Most definitely. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that, man. Malcolm, I truly enjoyed our dialogue today, man. Just you know, really just shedding light on athletes, sharing their story, and even the fact being vulnerable and being transparent, sharing your story, and then creating a platform for to do that as well, man. So today really has been good. Today really has been a treat.
I appreciate the opportunity.
However, before I let you go, Yes, sir. But before I let you go, I run everybody through it. You gotta go through the 2-minute drill. And people out there listening, this might be your first time. 2-minute drill is just where I have a few rapid fire questions. You just answer them. We allow people to see just a different side of you here. And then, you know, you tell people where to find you. We wrap it up and put a bow on it. Merry Christmas. And then I let you on your way. So Malcolm, are you ready?
Let's do it, my man.
Let's go. Okay, here we go. Favorite food?
Steak.
How do you like it cooked?
Medium rare.
My man. Last book you read?
Contagious by Jonah Berger.
Okay. Favorite podcast?
Gary V Audio Experience. I rock with Gary V.
Fair enough. Most underrated cereal?
Ooh, that's tough. Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay. And then what's one tip that you wanna give to a student athlete? You can take your time on this one.
Build relationships with people who aren't athletes. You never know who you'll come across, who will build the next multi-million dollar company that you should have been friends with.
Wow. Oh, I said, who would you like next on Beyond the Ball?
Maverick Carter, CEO of Uninterrupted.
You have a connection? You got a connection there?
Man, I should. I actually met him at an event, I think 2 years ago, but he was running around and I took a picture with him, but couldn't chop it up with him too long. So I wish I was the plug for you, but might have to go through the back door somehow.
Gotcha. If I get it through the back door, if I get it through the window, hey, I will reach out and we'll see. We'll see what we can make happen. We'll see. Man, Malcolm, go ahead. Let everybody know where they can find you, where they can follow you, and even of your new book.
Absolutely. So I'm on every social media platform at Malcolm Lemons. Pretty easy to find. My website is malcolmlemons.com. You can check out Athletes Unheard at athletesunheard.com, and you can cop the book Impact Beyond the Game on Amazon.
Boom. There it is. There it is. Everybody out there listening, everybody locked in, I want to encourage you all, just make sure with Malcolm, send him a DM, let him know something that he shared that really impacted you, that really added value to you. And then after you do that, then share out this episode, because I think a lot of people really can benefit from a lot that Malcolm shared, especially just where our student athletes are now and athletes as a whole, just in regard to mental health and just sharing our story. So Malcolm, one more time, my brother, I just want to thank you for taking the time out your day and just hanging out with us.
Anytime, my man. I appreciate the opportunity.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And all the ballers out there, once again, I just want to remind you all, be sure to connect with Malcolm, connect with me and share out the broadcast. And I'm Jonathan Jones, and this is Beyond the Ball, where we help you succeed beyond your degree.